Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
The dwarf is real.
I thought the logo was like a hockey team or something official.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know what I mean.
Official about last night
internationally.
Yes.
With billions of dollars attached to it.
I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what your next phase is.
Do you wear beanies? Podcast.
Beanies? No, I'm not a big hat person. And I'm from New York, and I don't like the hat life. I like wearing baseball caps.
Yeah, okay.
I wear the Yankees cap, the only hat I wear.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, and now, I've found that people in New York, it's either like Yankees all day, every day for life, or hope the Yankees die.
There are no fair weather fans, I don't think, on the East Coast. I've been Yankees and Knicks my whole life, and Knicks have not won since I've been alive.
1972.
So sorry about that. Is it as painful as people make it out to be, as Michael Rappaport makes it out to be?
No, because we leave it alone. We never leave them, but we're like, you know what, that's not, and we move on with our lives.
It's also a part of, I think, you most...
don't expect it.
Yeah, and also, it's a part, you almost enjoy talking about how much they suck.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
If they won, we'd all be like, what do we do?
Yeah, what do we talk about at dinner?
Someone, what is that?
What do we do? Like,
this has never happened.
There is that thing when you root for a team your whole life and they don't win, they don't win, they don't win, and then all of a sudden they win, where you're like, I need to do something. I need to go, like, I need to, like, turn over a car. I need to light
exactly.
something on fire. I need to, like, I
should I have a party after, way after it's over, and have a party then?
Yeah,
it should be during
you just
the game.
Like, you feel really excited, and then you're like, okay, now what?
Buy an outfit?
Yeah, like, I gotta buy the t-shirt, I gotta buy the
hat,
I gotta buy the commemorative condoms. Yeah. Like, I gotta buy
commemorative condoms.
Yeah. Yeah. Commemorative condoms.
Poster of who you love. You gotta,
yeah.
It's confusing.
Yeah. I bought the Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion commemorative condoms.
Did you
on
really?
The condom, it says, we held back the Panthers, and now we hold back your sperm.
Aw.
He's making all of that up. Every NFL condom comes with all the holes already through it.
Yeah. Because it's the NFL Gold Digger Edition
exactly.
condom. Poke a hole in that shit.
Air conditioned condoms.
18 years. 18 years.
Is there an athlete that you, now, that you, if you were in a position to, and I asked this for Brad and Jackie, both
yes.
of you, if you're in a position where an athlete is like, because I feel like that's a different, species of human. You know
okay.
what I'm saying? Like Shaq.
Yes.
I can't imagine that Shaq has sex. That to me is fucking crazy.
I thought you were going to ask me that you play one-on-one with. I didn't know where you were going with this.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I really like to stretch out my questions so the suspense builds.
Sure.
It's called, in my book, How to Not Podcast. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
if you were in a position, it almost seems like the way that Brad is a bucket list item for some people.
Okay. Yes, I am.
Which he is, and he has been.
Yep.
An athlete, I feel
well,
like.
Well, clearly mine is Jordan. That's most women.
Yeah. It is?
And when he was not so old.
Well, but all,
when he was in his prime.
Yes.
But also, Jordan's just like the legend status. Where I think once you hit...
Chris Webber.
C-Web?
Yeah, a little less than Jordan, but
okay.
You know.
Okay. I can totally see that. Yeah.
And what's his name? Not Ray Allen. Well, Ray Allen, too. Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
AI.
He could get it.
You're a big basketball fan.
Yeah.
I love that.
Not anymore. It's hard to keep track. I don't know who these guys are now.
Too many guys.
Well, up until like the last maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years, I followed all of it. I knew everyone was and all that kind of stuff.
Is that how you, like, what's your, if Jackie Fabulous has, like, you give yourself, like, 3 days off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is basketball watching going to be a part of it, or
only if I'm trying to get laid? I only pretend that, like most sports, to get laid. I learned how to play Texas Hold'em poker because my boyfriend was a pro to mm-hmm. pretend to like what he's doing. It's always faking just so I can get laid.
That, you know what? I think that's too much effort because you are an attractive woman, and I feel like you don't. I feel like you don't have to put in all that effort.
No, not to get a guy to talk to me.
Okay.
Once we start hanging out, to pretend like, oh, baby, I'll do whatever. That bullshit.
Yeah. Now, do women do that just because? And
get laid
as
faster,
men,
my bad.
Yeah. And as men, we know you don't like it, but it's just like that's how we can. That's how you can hang out with us more.
Yeah, because men are always trying to impress us. So I give guys plenty of opportunity watching a game, mm-hmm. explaining it to me if he plays the sport or the whatever poker. They love men. Always, always, always want to impress their wife, girlfriend, chick, jump off, fling, anything.
I do. I'm trying to impress my wife all the time with sports and like, no, look, this is a big deal because this guy just did this.
You guys live for that shit.
Never did. And my wife likes two sports. She likes bull riding and strongman competitions.
Okay.
And that's it because she's like, very simple rules.
Yeah.
I hate all the rules. So
she's
like,
not impressed that you know all the rules.
No. She like, that's a waste of brain space.
In fact, that's probably getting in the way.
Yes.
It's cock blocking your own cock.
Yes, exactly.
You're self cock blocking.
Yes, I'm self cock blocking, which sounds like something that the Flex Seal guy would sell. From the makers of Flex Seal, self cock block.
That guy's got to be so rich.
I hope he is. But yeah, she...
You look like you're probably married to an extremely attractive man. That ring is so beautifully gay. That is the most homosexual wedding band I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Who puts that much work into their wedding band when they're straight?
You know what? I take that as a compliment. Some guys would be like, what? My ring says I suck cock. That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, nah. I want, that's how you know I'm a married man. Because now I strive for the approval of gay men.
Yes.
Okay.
It used to be women.
No, but
now,
you got one.
Yeah,
you
now
got her approval.
I got one. I got mine.
You're approval done. Checked.
I want gay men to be like, oh, honey.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I want. In fact, there should be a new show called Oh Honey. And it's just gay men looking at straight guys. And if they're impressed, they go, oh, honey. And if they're not, they go, oh, honey.
Didn't they have, wasn't that Queer Eye for the
straight
guy for a while?
You know what? Or I can just rip off other people's ideas.
Bring it back. Everything we thought died and was decomposed
right?
is all back.
Oh, shit.
So bring it back.
Why not?
Bring an updated version of that back.
What show would you bring back? And star in.
What show would I bring back and star in?
Mm-hmm.
You got to give me a minute. Any show that had the full-figured black funny woman, but instead of the ones who could never get laid, I'd be the one who could easily get laid.
Just all the time.
Did Mo-
just
get
non-stop
laid?
Fucking.
That's exactly. Yeah. I've been pitching the show, of course. It doesn't matter anymore. Tell the world. Nothing's happened. It's just my idea. I wanted a sitcom like The King of Queens, but in reverse. It's always the fat guy with that...
Right?
Why, if you're like, how?
Right?
But there's never the really, really in shape, you know, model looking dude and a full figured wife or girlfriend.
Never.
Yeah.
Ever in history.
You need Shamar Moore and you.
Anyone. He's actually too old. I want him younger.
He's too old?
He's too old.
Who do you want?
I don't know who I want.
Deon Cole?
Shamar Moore?
No,
Deon Cole's old.
Too old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shamar Moore is a
get out the forest.
He's a
no
beautiful
forest.
Man.
Get out the 40s.
What about who's the Disney kid?
Disney kid.
Now you went.
Is that
like
legal?
You skipped the lifestyle.
How can we get this into the realm of felony?
Exactly.
I think he's like 18.
Who? Okay, not that long.
All right.
25.
Like 25. Yeah.
Yeah. Has there ever been a show?
Is there
like
an Epps?
That?
Is there an Epps? A younger Epps? Probably waiting in the wings. Or Omar. Even
Omar.
Like, but no, he's probably
Omar's
in his 40s.
He's too serious.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you said Michael Jordan. How about Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
That could
work. Bam.
There you go.
See, you are gay.
Yes. Have you seen Michael B. Jordan's pics? My God.
Your catalog of hot black men is really,
exactly.
Pretty,
I know him.
Is bigger than.
I got it. I got it.
I would want, though, I'd want him to be like either Latino. I would want him to be black because nowadays we all see what's selling. It's all the multicolored
ethnicity.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know
that's
what?
My show idea.
But you're absolutely right because you and even in movies that was kind of the knock on Judd Apatow for a while is you had these like guys like Seth Rogen with Katherine Heigl,
yes, and everywhere,
and Jonah Hill with I'm blanking on her name right now. She's won an Academy Award.
Yeah, Jim Belushi, King of Queens,
yes,
all of them, the women,
all of them.
So I'm like, where's the big girl who's and they actually are in, they're dating or going to get married.
And I want that.
And I want that.
I want that show.
Yeah.
Because I want to look at that. Because there's nothing sexier than just a woman, whatever she looks like, that just has all her shit together and the confidence.
Or just gets laid.
Days.
Can we just get laid?
Yes.
Why is it we can't get laid on TV?
Right.
Women, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that. I mean, unless it's like Melrose Place or
yeah. But then they're like no, build only up.
If they're traditionally attractive, comedy. According to the way the society, then sure, they get sure. laid. I'm talking about the ones that don't get put in that box.
Yeah,
they don't get laid. Well, no, we all do.
Show should happen.
Yeah,
I have pitched it.
That's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Don't
it will.
Stop. Yeah, you'll find a version that's right at the right time. This feels like the right time.
That's what happens in real life. Like, because you look when I watch the Maury Povich show, the women that have like the I've got four kids and and from like and I've tried with like eight dudes to find out if they're the dad, but they're not but they're not the dad, so now we're gonna go for dude number nine. They're all like women where you're like, how is this woman having this much sex? How? Who is fucking this woman?
Exactly.
Answer, everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody is fucking this woman.
That's why I'm like, whenever I get, I think it's part of my drawback when I audition, every now and then I used to get the very, very dowdy in a horrible outfit, the maid or the woman who can't. Yeah. I'm like, if you put me in the house with a really rich guy, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you saw what happened with him.
Yeah.
He fucked that maid. And she wasn't,
he fucked that maid.
She wasn't cute.
No.
If there was a game show called Can You Fuck That Maid, he would have won.
He would have won.
Now, would your folks who are Jamaican?
Yes.
Would your parents be Jamaican in your show?
In my show idea, my parents are in it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How was that, having Jamaican parents?
Well, it is wonderful. I'm about to bring the room way down. My father died in May.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So it's me and mommy.
Okay.
But it's just loud all the time, all day, every day, just yelling. But that's the way we speak, and that's why I've been told
Jamaicans
that I'm very
loud.
Jamaicans
don't really whisper, do they?
No.
Who yelled more growing up, mom or dad?
My mother, when it was looking for me. My father is the one who would say my whole name, Jacqueline. My mother would just be, Jackie, wait, all day long. So when I go home to visit now, it's just looking for me all day. Also, your parents, that's all they do when you're home
it
with
is,
them?
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you? Why aren't you home?
What
when
are you doing?
Coming home?
When are you coming
are you
back? Yeah. Why are you going so late?
Even if you're just in the other room. Mom, I'm taking a shit. Can I take a shit?
They don't knock.
Yeah.
I'm in my 40s and she's like, look, our grades were going. I'm never going to fucking knock on your bedroom door.
No. They I've got the same parents where their knock is knock open.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can hear her feet like coming. I know to get dressed when I hear the feet. I'm like, put clothes on.
It's like the maids at the Holiday Inn, which is what they do. They're already in your room as they're knocking.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what you were doing.
Housekeeping. Yeah. In there, you're like, oh.
The key card is like, I hear that, and then I hear the knock.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right.
Yeah.
I'll get out.
And they don't hear no. You got to say no six times.
Oh, man.
No, thank you.
You got to say, yeah.
Wait, no, you heard me.
There's also, even if you can't, like, sometimes I feel like my before 7 a.m. enunciation skills aren't at the tip top shape of what they should be. But also, there's a tone.
Of course not.
There's a.
Oh.
Like, if you didn't hear no thank you, you heard the tone of no thank you.
The dry mouth, no sleep.
Like, that's not come on in and clean up. I'll just fucking pull the sheet over my head.
No, that's the you just awoke me up from having sex with a 1997 Shania Twain, and this is really bumming me out. So this is like how I'm able to communicate them.
Yeah.
I mean, now, here's the thing. I don't know too many stereotypes about Jamaicans. I don't know. So what are things about...
The most popular one is potheads.
Potheads.
Yeah.
Okay, was that true with your
I didn't smoke growing up. None of my immediate friends did. It wasn't a part of my family's lifestyle.
Okay.
But it was around you?
Not really.
Not really?
Nobody in my family, really. There's some drinkers, but it was the American friends on the outside that all got high all the time.
Yeah, but I've heard that, I mean, but is it a thing like...
It's a Caribbean thing. West Indians overall.
Okay, gotcha. Because I've heard that, like, the weed and Jamaica is like, you know, comparable to like, you know, LA Chronic.
I've never had it. And when I was there recently, and I still have a stigma. I'm like, I don't want to admit that I may kind of sort of been around the world close to marijuana.
Yeah.
But I do smoke it occasionally.
Good.
So fuck it. I got to grow up.
Everybody does.
Is another stereotype that, and maybe it's not, but do Jamaicans bobsled?
I don't know. I have no clue, and I would go with no.
Were you pumped when you saw Cool Runnings?
I never saw Cool Runnings.
What?
For the exact reason.
That's like me not seeing Schindler's List.
Because I know that none of those guys are Jamaican, and we get annoyed with that. We don't want to see a bunch of Americans
So you wanted the authentic Jamaican.
Yeah, but the movie was dumb. Although I know one of the guys in it, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
I don't want to offend him.
Yeah, no, he's a great dude.
The movie was shit. Hey, Riley.
I love that movie.
I know.
But they catered to me, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
They're like young Jew boy in Seattle. Loves Jamaican bobsledding because he can't do it.
Right. Yeah, because I know that, and then I know like jerk chicken and reggae. That's yes. That's about all I know.
You're pretty much done. What else is there for you to?
Really? Is that it?
Good food, yeah. Good liquor, good music, and weed. That's Isn't a, that every culture? That,
and the
that's every culture.
Yeah. Bongo drums, maybe? No.
No.
So what's the
beach, warm weather. That's California. I just described California and parts of, you know.
Now, and the thing is with Jamaican accents, like, we, like, Adam and I think we know a Jamaican accent because we listened to Miss Cleo on her commercials.
She's dead,
or something.
By the way.
Yeah. R.I.P. Miss Cleo.
Yeah.
And was she even Jamaican? I have
no
idea.
She was not really a Jamaican.
So she was faking that accent?
Yeah. She got sued for faking everything. Well, of course it was
faking
wrong.
Jamaican?
She was faking Jamaican.
By the way, is there Jamaican bacon? Has somebody
no
combo those words together?
Jamaican bacon?
Yeah. And
no,
then,
I think
and then
there's no faking this Jamaican bacon. Well, hi, I'm Stu Lance.
Well, that's what the vegetarian Jamaican bacon is called. Fake a Jamaican bacon.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
There you go. But like,
but there are no vegetarians in Jamaica or vegans. We eat everything with a heartbeat.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And then, because then, like, we think we know accents, but then when you hear someone with a real Jamaican
incoherent
accent,
you're not going to be able to understand.
You cannot. Yeah. No. You can't. Like,
and I have an accent ear where if I meet someone who I know is not American and their accent is heavy. Mm-hmm. I have to turn on that hearing because it's a different kind of understanding.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a different pacing and a different, like, you're
you gotta
listening
listen.
For different.
Yeah. You got to pay attention.
Oh, my God.
Is there comedy in Jamaica? Like, did you, well, take me through from there to the New York, right, is where comedy.
What do you mean? My life?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, like, when you're growing up in Jamaica, where are your influences?
I wasn't born there. I was born in the Bronx.
Gotcha.
I was born in the Bronx, but my whole family is from Jamaica. And when you're raised with immigrants, the household is Jamaica.
Right.
So I moved.
So it's like 42 degrees outside, and you guys like
cutting a mango with a machete. Yeah. Exactly. That's the way it is. When
that
you,
sounds
when
like
from
a Jamaican phrase. Like, oh, you, I was going to do
cut
an accent.
A mango.
No,
I
do
just
it.
Stopped it. I stopped.
Come back.
Like,
Irish.
Nope.
It was immediate. I heard
nope.
Irish.
Yeah, and that's why I stopped. I'm like, I'm never going
to
be able to pull
Brad
this off.
Is terrible at accents. Wait, right.
Oh, God. See, I now do it in front of someone who had Jamaican parents. This is, oh, my God, this is horrible. So cutting a mango with machete. Are you going to cut that mango with a machete?
Dude, Irish? That's
it's some Irish and
Scottish. Dude, pick a fucking
that's why
part of Western Europe.
That was like me going into dunk a basketball and then right before I jump and going, oh, this isn't going to end well.
Your mother and your father. Is that a little better?
Father,
right?
Yeah, father.
Father, yeah.
Father, yeah, okay. That's close.
Cutting a machete.
Now you're Italian.
Hey, what's supposed to say that for the meatballs?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the meatball machete.
I can't do it. I'm not. All I want to do is do the fake Miss Cleo and say, "Call me now for your free tarot reading."
There you go.
Now what about
that was better?
There you go.
Sebastian from the Little Mermaid. He was Jamaican, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Under
I've
the
never
sea.
Seen it.
Under the sea. All right.
This has been Brad and Adam try to relate.
Wait, but so where did your comedy bubble get shaped?
Ooh,
in the Bronx?
No, I did no stand up when I started off in New York. It all started out here in Orange County, California.
Hey, that's where I'm from.
Through Bill Word. Bill Word is how I started.
Okay,
I took Judy Carter's comedy writing class in 2005-ish after work. For fun, because I was bored.
Work because you went to law school.
I went to law school in California, graduated, gotcha. didn't practice, but worked always in the legal field.
And was there? Were you just always growing up a funny person? So it was always.
I was the funny girl, not the annoying clown, but the funny girl. Two different things.
You seem like it.
Yeah.
You seem like you just always were quick and funny and sharp and just like, but that was what a skill set that you just had in your pocket.
But it's not called a skill set when you're a kid. That's called a badass kid who won't shut up in class.
Yeah, right.
It's not until you become an adult you're like, oh, that's a skill.
Because not everyone has.
This. No
and nobody around you was encouraging it. Like,
no, because they didn't know it was showbiz. When you, I look at it as every town you're born in is, in my opinion, the Midwest small town. Even if it's the Bronx and it's New York or whatever, it's New York State. People don't know how to get out to pursue anything Hollywood based, quote unquote. They all think it's a special wand that's put upon you, like you deserve to go.
Right.
So I would go home and they'd be like, "Are you done with this California thing now?" Like it was a phase. I'm like, well, first of all, I don't know what I'm doing. That's number one. So I'm going to stay out there while I don't know what I'm doing rather than move back home, have the husband, the kid, the 9-to-5, and want to kill myself, which is what I wanted to do before I became a comic.
Wow.
Jeez. I was depressed because I didn't know what all the energy was about.
Yeah.
I thought I was just couldn't hold a job, wasn't good in class, wasn't good at, my schoolwork or homework. And when you're in that bubble, you feel like a failure.
Yeah, and it sounds like you just kind of went along with
this tried thing.
Everything that you were supposed to do,
yeah,
and not necessarily what you wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. I had no aspiration to be a comic or an actor. I didn't know how.
Does law school suck?
Law school is fantastic.
Okay.
Because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. fascinating.
So you need something to be stimulated.
Yes.
And when you were depressed, you just didn't.
I didn't know what it was. I kept going to school. I was one of those super, super getting a degree just to stay in school because work was not enough.
Right.
I remember I had work. I had school. I had the hot boyfriend who had a son. And you would think, well, you're clearly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is
you got
horrible.
A path. No, yeah. You don't want that.
It's fucking horrible.
You wanted something more.
Yeah, exactly.
Always. Yeah.
All the time.
And then when does it even enter your mind as being in the realm of possibility that you could be a comedian?
Because I took the writing class after work as an activity. And then after the end of 6 weeks taking the class, my first show ever was at the Improv in 2006 in September. And I did well on the class, the set that I prepared.
Yeah.
And I just kept doing it after work for over a decade. I didn't, you know, there was no acting involved.
Just going to open mics and...
That's it. And I would drive 100 miles almost every day from Orange County to L.A. just to do free spots. Every day.
Yeah, you're talking about my... Because I lived in Fullerton.
Yeah.
And then I was growing up and, yeah, so that was pretty much the
same
thing.
It wasn't a big... And people are like, how could you? I'm thinking it's very easy because it's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. In the idea of getting on the first when I was there's a place in San Diego called The Stats and a little coffee shop and it was one of the first places that I got a chance to be on a show that wasn't up here, that wasn't an open mic, you know, and so of course when you're in that space you're like, oh, I don't care how far it is, it's not the shows I've been doing, and it's out when it's a little bit out of where you live, you're like, oh cool, I feel a little bit more free to do whatever just because it's a road gig, quote unquote.
And it's like when you're doing what you want to do, that's nothing. Driving that far is nothing. It'd be like telling someone, hey, you want to drive 100 miles to play basketball with Michael Jordan? You'd be like, yes,
of course.
Because that's what I would, that's your dream.
Lestat's coffee shop is the Michael Jordan of comedy.
it's been said a million times.
Yeah. What do you remember that first rush you got on stage? Like,
yes, it was laughing.
Jokes? Yeah,
I remember when she told us, okay, you guys know it'll be a 5-minute set at the end of the 6 week, and I was, and you hear that, you're like, how in the world could anyone possibly tell jokes for 5 minutes? Who's not a pro at it already?
Because how much prep did you do in the class?
Weeks of this shit.
Yeah.
I'm writing it and open micing it at the class for the audience, so the other classmates and teachers just revise. I had a private session with Judy the day before the 5-minute set.
She encouraged you to be super personal. Like, what was some of the
guidelines? Guidelines.
Well, I mean, like, you know, what were they teaching?
About yourself.
Yeah.
She was always, don't just try and be, you know, arbitrary with your observations. Just talk about who you are.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was all single girl all the time.
Yeah.
All I cared about was just dick. It was easy. Dick jokes are very easy when you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And they work.
And they work. So. The audience is like, we're going to have fun with you, you know?
Yeah.
I was the only black female comic amongst, you know, Grant Carter and Kristen Correa was all the white dudes and me. And it was just drinking every day after work and doing stand-up with no goal, no purpose, no set.
Mm-hmm.
No structure.
No,
but for years.
But you knew. But you were doing it with the intention of, I mean,
fun. I don't have to go home and go to bed.
But did you have that like inner burning desire of like, oh, I want to get like if you had a set?
Yeah, I kept wanting to get better.
Yeah,
I realized,
fuck, I'm gonna get that tomorrow.
Yeah, the drunken sets were always fun, but I had it in me. I'm like, well, I could probably do more if I just, you know, write stuff down, remember it, and try and get invited to shows that had real audiences as opposed to the posse of friends.
Right, because then you. That's one way
you're forced to get better.
And you could truly know if your stuff is good or not.
Exactly. And I did all bar gigs for years. Rowdy ass bar after bar after bar after bar.
You ever do Hennessy's and Dana Point?
Yeah.
Thank you, Orange County. Orange County is the bar show capital.
Detroit bar. I did the Detroit bar. Did you ever do that?
I think I've heard of the Detroit bar.
You probably did.
There's so many shows out there, and I love that you said that you did those shows because I've literally been talking to young comics where they say like, yeah, some guy wants me to do this bar show. And
I hear that like, a lot too.
Yeah, and like that's not
bar like that.
Yeah, like bar show. And like that's not what I want to do with my career. It's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, it's like I just got done doing bringer shows. How long have you been doing it again? 4 months. But it's been like, I've been doing a lot of shows. Like it's been 4 months, but like people tell me like they ask me if I've been doing it a year.
Yeah,
so.
And I go up like once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, well, as they don't go up.
And apparently that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Just, these guys kill me.
And I just want to tell people, it's like, people are asking you to do bar shows because Russell Peters isn't going to ask you to open up for him in front of a 20,000 seat venue.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, you have to do the bar shows to learn how to do the other shows.
Exactly.
So you have to cut your teeth there. And I want to stress that to young comics. And I'm so glad that I did those shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because now when...
Not fazed by anything now.
Not fazed by anything. Because we've all had to go on stage when they turned off the game and said, now we're going to do comedy for a bunch of people that did not know that they were about to see comedy.
Exactly.
And they hated you. Hated you. Wait, you're not the Lakers?
And I make fun of any guy who had on a full Laker uniform. I'm like, what are you doing? It made it easy for me. It was easy.
I get it if you're going to the game or maybe if you're having a party. But
We're in Irvine. Where's your shirt? Where's your actual shirt?
If you're literally putting on the jersey to go to a bar by yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know.
Exactly.
Who are you trying to impress?
I know. I host it a lot, and I still get flack now. Like, aren't you trying to be a headliner? Okay, I am a headliner, but I like hosting.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a necessary
skill.
And
if I'm home and I don't have somewhere to be, why the fuck wouldn't I host?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You get a spot? Fuck yeah.
Exactly. So I'm like, hosting helps you understand how the show will not start unless you let it start.
Oh, yeah.
That's very arrogant. But
nope.
I look at hosting like, I'm headlining. I'm going first for a minute. And then I'll let you guys go under your
thing. Yeah. Yeah. And you have the best part about hosting is that the pressure is not on you.
Exactly.
If you do a joke in between comics that doesn't go well, oh,
well,
here's your next comic. And then the next comic goes and does well. And
exactly.
Then at the end of it, they come up to you and say, you were really funny.
Yeah.
So
unless I'm drinking or not focused and I'm having too much fun and a comic does not do well.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, I forgot the job of the host is to bring it back up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really feel like being a part of this anymore. I just want to help bring, you know, let you guys finish.
Hey, yeah. Early on, did you have it, some of those bar shows, sets where you got into it with an audience member or?
All the time. But as a woman, I find people always trying to cut it off before it gets too bad.
Yeah.
But the argument gets very heated. I remember the day after, it wasn't a bar show, but the audience was rowdy after the election.
Yeah.
And they wanted to have a full-blown argument debate while out. I'm like, no, this is a real show. We can't do this here. But they were like, no, we're going to do this here. But the bar shows help you understand the person who's belligerent. They're like, no, I want to discuss this now.
Yeah.
It's just good training.
Yeah. And you know? So nothing scares you when you do a show at the Improv or show at the Funny Bone. Nothing.
No drunk person bothers me at all.
How did you choose the name Jackie Fabulous?
That was just boredom. That was just...
Really?
It was. It came from a lot of gay, I don't know, several, not a lot, gay audiences in Orange County.
Okay.
Brad?
I was there.
I was opening for him. Yeah. Can we keep his business personal?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, we're on the podcast, and then I go out to my favorite bar, the Rear Ender. And,
is that a real bar?
Maybe.
It might be.
Should be. Yeah.
And you
it
know, a gay crowd wants a big black woman first to open, and
do
then
they,
let him.
Do they?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. I'm so gullible.
It was funny. I did a gay show at the Improv. I won't say who the host was, but she gave me like a pull aside, like, you know, this audience is gay, like to warn me.
Jesus.
And I was kind of like, I'm a big black woman. Most of these gay men want to be me.
Yeah.
Get out the way.
Fine.
Thanks for the heads up. That was not necessary.
Hey, no reason for giving me a disclaimer.
Wow. Yeah.
So just did
boredom.
Did,
yeah.
Did a gay audience member name you Jackie Fabulous?
Yeah, yeah. Or? A lot of guys just say. And so I just decided, I really just for fun.
It was like, Jackie, you're
realized,
fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of that.
Wow.
So I realized that my real name, while beautiful and pretty, whatever, it's hard to pronounce, remember, spell. There's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I was loving this so much. I figured this is what I'm going to do. Figure out how to make it plan A and make no plan B.
It's such a great name.
Thank you. And people who remember it and can't stand it, at least you know it.
Who can't stand it?
Every now and then you get someone who's just like, ugh. But it's not like, it rarely ever happens. And when it does, I just laugh. Like,
fabulous is such a great word. And it's like,
and
no,
now it's about branding and
fuck
yeah.
Dude.
And you could, I mean, I don't get that. There are some people that would be like, no, I'm a comedy purist. You use your name, and then you speak your truth. And it's like, nah, listen, the job of the comedian is to entertain the people.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The job. However you do that.
I'm not Louis Farrakhan. I'm not here to enlighten anyone.
Yes. Was it a combination of the joy that you brought to the gay men and that they were sending back your way and the name that it matched up with yours? Because what if they were like, Jackie, you're stupendous. Like, Jackie Stupendous, that's a different career, maybe.
I tried a few just to see how it sounded, but I really didn't ask anyone. I didn't ask anyone's opinion. I just said, just
Jackie Fabulous,
Jackie Wonderful, Jackie Outstanding's not bad.
That's not bad, but I really did. It was a fluke. It was just on a, you know, oh, fuck it, let's just see what happens.
Now, what did your friends say when you said, oh no, they call me Jackie Fabulous?
My friends out here, I swear to God, they're all comedians or entertainment based, so they were all like, girl, go ahead, happy.
Yeah, so they got it.
In New York, my parents were the ones that were like, we don't know why. They don't get it, but they're always the last to get it.
Right.
And my few friends in New York.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That is a ringtone.
This is what
I call.
Did
the gay men also pick your ringtone?
This is what I call. I call this automatic body roll whenever it comes on.
Yeah.
Anywhere it comes on, you're like, oh, wait a minute, guys.
I don't blame you.
Body roll.
I get it.
Isn't it? No matter where you are.
Listen, I mean, I feel the same way with Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere you go.
Done.
Never gonna let you
down. Start dancing.
I feel that way with, what's the song by, I think it's Pet Shop Boys.
Uh-huh.
Houston Boys and Western Girls. And Western Boys and Western Girls.
Yeah. That's just fun.
I love that you know the rest of that song.
Exactly.
Do you karaoke?
I'm not sober.
That's
I'm
fine.
Kinda, I'm kind of uppity with karaoke.
I ain't trying to meet anybody who's sober karaoke's.
No. That's the most fun. Like,
those are called artists who are not going to make it. Sober karaoke.
Yeah, exactly.
I once saw a guy in a full business suit, and he looked like the type of guy that you're like, I'm surprised this guy hasn't killed himself already. And I say that with the sweetest of compliments. But he went up there and he sang extremes more than words. And I literally wouldn't have been surprised if he pulled the trigger mid-song.
I had a guy like that last night at open mic. I'm like, is he going to kill anybody?
And the song is so, it is kind of a downer when you see it sung by a person that's like not, but he was sober too. And I was like, yeah, dude, that's your mistake. If he taken up a shot or a vodka soda or even just like
anything,
said someone bring me a drink while I'm up there, then guess what? Like, it's the one activity where booze is a necessity.
Yeah.
That and eating at Denny's. If you're doing that sober too.
You know what I found last night that annoyed me speaking to comedy? I did an open mic.
Yeah.
And one of the guys, they probably knew who I was, and he goes, are you going to perform? I said, no, I have this thought about cats using deodorant. I want to work that out. There's nothing real is going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh. And I had my phone notes, and then I'm like, I've been to so many open mics where people are performing. And they say, oh, that joke usually kills. I'm like, we're not here for that.
No.
It was the workout bullshit in your head.
Yeah. This is just put it out there. And
everyone's
just
trying
to get any reaction.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to perform all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's midnight in the middle of the valley.
Yeah.
Most of you look homeless. Let's just try this.
And you're a touring, national touring headliner.
Yeah.
So if you were a national touring headliner and you go up at an open mic night and you're like, I'm going to give them my hour. Like, you're like,
nothing
really?
What's wrong with me? You know?
That's like some severe narcissism. It's like, no, you just had a thought.
About
cats what? Cats having...
Cats using deodorant. I had a dream.
So
and I'm like, let's talk about it.
You had a dream about... Do you have a cat?
No, I don't have a cat.
But you had a dream about cats.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, what are they going to do in my dream, Jackie Fabulous?
Exactly.
They're
going to
fucking freshen up.
By me.
Every now and then I'm like, I have a thought about cats. I want to pitch a show about cats doing yoga.
Fuck,
but
yes.
That's ridiculous.
Animated?
Yeah,
sure.
It should be.
Yeah.
Done.
It can't be real.
Well, I mean.
Not with that attitude.
With this organized show.
Yeah. Every hit YouTube video is all cats doing stuff anyway. Why don't you just make a half hour out
there's
of
also
it?
Got to be some crazy, wacky celebrity cat yoga trainer that like.
Sure.
If it worked on set with an animal. I watched a trainer with this animal. I'm just like, God, that's a lot of fucking work.
Really?
Yeah, you never seen an actor, a dog or a cat?
I went to the animal actor stage in Universal Studios when I was in the fifth grade and almost got taken up by a hawk. So I was the kid they chose from the audience to come up. And it couldn't have been with the one where they bring the kid up and like the monkey comes out and he comes out with he takes your hat, brings it backstage, and then he comes out with a bra. And he's like, hey, I found this in your backpack. You're like, fuck you, monkey. And I ain't no pervert. I'm in the fifth grade. I don't even know cursive yet. I'm not stealing bras, piece of shit. So then they have this hawk and they bring me up and they go, you're going to meet our special friend. There's the closing number of the animal actor show.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, look up there. And they go, hold your hand out like this and make this weird thing for the hawk to land on.
Yeah.
And they go, look up there. And the stage is kind of slanted like amphitheater style. And I look up and I just see this hawk just go, and just bring its wings up. And I'm this fucking fifth grade kid and I go, What's that? And he's like, that's Benny the Hawk. I'm like, Ben, just because his name's fucking Benny doesn't mean he's not going to pick me up.
And murder everybody.
And murder everybody and chow down on this fucking fat Jew. That could be his favorite snack. Fat Jew. And so he, like, this hawk extends its wings and then descends downward. And I jumped off the stool because I got scared. And then I start, like, running around the stage. And the hawk's chasing me, trying to land on me.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the animal trainer, it's a lot of work is what I'm trying to say. I had a lot of respect for the trainer who chased down that hawk.
Yeah, and man, I did a show one time. I did a pilot where there was a bear, and the bear had to be it just had to be 3 feet behind me and this other actor, and then at some point it would roar. And but like we weren't looking.
Now
at
this
it.
Was an actual bear or a
actual bear.
Or a gay man in West Hollywood.
This was behind
you for a pilot, so I'm trying to figure out was Ron Jeremy in this pilot
on Cinemax. That's where. And his name was Ginger Bear. He was red haired one. And such a warm embrace.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, like we weren't looking at him. Mm-hmm. We had to look to camera. We had to say this line, and then after he said the line, the bear would roar. And I've never been so afraid of in my life.
I will never work with a bear. I'm going to have a no
bear. Is that
bear.
A year rider?
It will be. Yeah. Hey, guess what?
Only green M&Ms and no bears.
No bears. I don't want to work with a bear. I don't want to see a bear. I don't even want to talk to a cartoon bear.
Yeah.
When Smokey the Bear's on TV and I'm a little high, I get
Turn
freaked
off.
Out. You know? Only you can prevent for it. Fuck you, man. You're out there. You take care of it. But but yeah, there's certain animals that I think are just, you don't think about how terrifying they are until you are around
yeah,
them.
And I don't care.
If I go anywhere where I know there might be bears, I'm like, I'm not getting out the car.
No.
Because that's it. There's no running away.
You versus bear.
Can you see me?
Camping?
Can you see me?
I mean, that's an episode of your show for sure.
I mean, can you see me at all?
Camping?
No. Right now, visible. Am I visible?
Yes.
Then of course I don't camp.
You're saying black women don't camp?
No. Fuck out of here.
Ever in the history of camping?
Not unless they were slaves. Too far back? Too real?
Oh my God.
I laughed so hard off mic right there. Sweet Jesus. What? And I'm like, I don't know if I'm allowed to laugh at that, but I think I am because you said it.
Why?
You get it.
Is it because of the possibility of bears?
It's the outdoors part.
Outdoors, yeah.
Most women, I would say a lot of women, a lot of races don't want to do it outside.
I don't
know
a ton of women that like to camp.
No, why would we? We have all of our shit in the bathroom. Why would we? Let's pile all this up. Nice hotel? No. Outside.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
And you can't, even use stuff that you use at home.
There's nothing. You can't plug anything in, so it's all natural day, whether you want to be natural or not.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of camping. My family doesn't camp, and my wife does. And she's like, okay, so when are we going camping? I'm like, I don't know. When are you scheduling it for yourself?
Exactly.
I ain't going. Also, the bear always kills the slowest person.
Yeah.
The midget is always the slowest person. There's never a situation where I'm outrunning someone going, ah, sucker.
Yeah.
That's never happened.
An appetizer.
Look at that little Teddy Graham.
Yeah. I look like a dumpling to a bear. Bear dumplings. Hashtag bear dumplings. Yeah, not good.
You wouldn't even go for the material, huh? Like, do you ever find yourself in situations?
I really am afraid of bears and wild. Like the hiking here alone. When I hike with people, I'm looking around. When I hike alone, I'm always like, is this gonna be the day? Because I'll hear a bush rustle, rustle. Yeah. Which one is it? Russell?
I like that bush is ruffle.
Ruffle.
I think it's Russell.
I hear bushes move. How about that? Yeah. Way easier.
No, ruffle is a chip, which if the bushes threw chips at you, that'd be great.
I'll see a squirrel or whatever and be like, I can't, but I still do it, but I'm always scared when I hike.
Now, what about insects? Outdoors in general? I mean, that comes with the
big
package.
Ones I'm bothered by. Yeah. You know what? I don't like the gigantic roaches that fly.
Oh, those are
fucking. And the Caribbean is known for those.
Yeah.
Oh.
Must have some unique bugs out there.
Because you'll see a roach on the wall, and it'll be a roach the size of my thumb.
Like, and it's probably like, hey, I'm a Jamaican roach.
It's dancing. It's smoking.
Who's got the meatballs?
It's smoking a blunt while it's on the wall.
Yeah. Which is a roach having a roach.
Exactly. Yeah. Ah! Nice, why didn't you see? Wow, you're so smart.
Yeah, he's quick.
It didn't even occur to me.
It's all the gay training. All the gay training.
The gaining.
And the gaining. They teach you so much.
When you see a roach that big and you get your shoe, okay, this is it, and you get towards it and it picks up and flies off, you will shit your pants.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, because the roach was like, not today, motherfucker.
Not exactly.
and you're just scared that roach is going to be like, oh, no. Oh, I was here peacefully.
Exactly. Now, I was here before you got here. Yeah. You got some nerve.
Yeah, now, ooh, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Is it even the... I mean, I guess also to the clothing. I mean, it's like you just have to wear like camp clothes or like.
You can probably buy your cute L.L. Bean outfit, but then why bring a bunch of stuff? Yeah. It's like when you go on vacation. I'll bring my prom dress, all kind of shit I have not worn in 20 years, but I'll be like, on this vacation, I'm going to wear this. And you wear the same jeans for 6 days and on a flight back. Yeah. Like, what, does it matter anymore? No.
That, like, who's trying to look fabulous camping? Because it's like, who are you looking good for? Yeah.
The animals?
The coyote?
Exactly.
The bear's like, I was going to eat you, but damn, it's a cool jacket.
And then I'd be afraid to fuck because your nerves, your defenses are down.
Yeah.
How do you have fun camping?
None like that scared fucking.
Exactly. That is a good fucking note.
None like that fear fucking.
If there's one thing Brad's always said, it's nothing like that fear fucking.
Really? Nothing like that fear fucking.
Yeah,
I want to talk about you on the Arsenio Hall show.
All right.
Well, let me real quick, clothing question.
Yes.
Oh. I'm always curious, when you get ready for a show, do you put more attention into it during a weekend show or a weekday or, you know what I'm saying? I can't be comfortable on stage if I'm not like comfortable.
I've learned to figure out a uniform for nightly during the week.
Yeah.
And when the show's about me, then I'll wear heels. Okay. I stop with the heels at improv on a Tuesday.
Right.
Okay. And stop all that.
But like comedy magic on a weekend.
Yes. Yeah. I'll put on heels and I'll be like, this is work.
Yeah.
But, you know.
There you go. It's not the trying out stuff.
No, the showcasing. Although every show, I think every show in Hollywood matters. Because I've gotten agents and jobs off of not bullshitting off the stage just here.
You have?
Yeah.
Because you never know who's going to be in
the
audience.
It's always been the whole you never know thing.
It's one of the benefits of being out here,
and
right?
Yes, exactly. And not being on the road all the time.
Is that where you got discovered for Arsenio Hall?
No. How did Arsenio Hall happen? Mm-hmm. Jan Smith, the booker for the Ice House.
Yeah.
He told me Arsenio Hall show was coming back, just in conversation. Mm-hmm. And when he told me it was coming back, I put it on my vision board. I'm going to do a set on the show.
Because I've heard, I don't know, I don't have a vision board. Okay. Are they actual boards?
No, you go to like Staples or Office Max and buy a gigantic piece of old tag. Remember old tag from school?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you would like pin a note on there.
There you go. That's what people buy.
Okay. Yeah. And you just like pin something on there that.
Yeah, you put your goals, your list, your whatever you want to do from that year.
Did you just like pin a photo of Arsenio Hall's finger?
No, you know what I did? I remember I made a Facebook post of a list of shows that I wanted to do stand up on, all late night related, and he was on the list. And then Jan told me that one of his good friends from back in the day was the booker for the show.
Yeah.
So I just said, Jan, please let her know I want to do it. I didn't write. I had to pick jokes to make the 5 minutes. Worked on it. She came to watch it a few times, and then I did the show.
Amazing. Yeah. And was that your first late night spot?
Yeah, first late night spot.
Nerves?
Up until I was behind the curtain where they're waiting before they say you can walk out.
Yeah.
Really? But not like, shit your pants nervous. Just kind of like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is it.
Did you watch the original run of the Arsenio Hall show?
Yeah, that's why it was anybody with brown skin, I'm sure the whole world felt the same way. But black people were like, "Oh, I'm going to get on this motherfucker." When it came back,
right.
It was a personal goal, personal list.
Absolutely. Did
come hell or high water.
Did the show have a similar vibe to it, like from when you watched it, like being on it, were there certain things?
My episode did, because on my episode, Little John performed.
Oh shit.
Oh boy.
And Jada Pinkett Smith, I think, was before me. So
nice.
She went on before, but Little John was so good. It made you feel like it was 97 again.
Oh my God.
You know, because it was a party and then I had,
So did you get to meet Little John?
Actually, no, that wasn't the episode that I. No, I didn't meet him.
Some bitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I was back again with Kim Whitley. We did a thing together.
Yeah. Well, now
Lil Jon was on that episode.
Well, now we need to put Lil Jon on your vision board.
Yes, Lil Jon clearly.
Yes, because that
means something.
That has to happen for you. That's great.
Have you gotten to who are people you've gotten to meet because of this crazy business that you're just like, man, thank God I chose this and stuck with it and have become successful?
The only one that comes to mind is Eddie Murphy. And that's my only
Whoa.
Obsession.
What?
Yeah.
Where'd you meet Eddie?
The coffee shop near my house. He goes there to get coffee.
I mean, the stars are just like us. You know, that makes me so happy that he does go out to get coffee, because that's like, I've heard stories about Tom Hanks has people that go shop for him and bring him clothes. And that makes sense, because he's Hanks famous. And that's like,
well, now Tom Hanks should just go to Stitch Fix. Go to stitchfix.com/ALN. That's stitchfix.com/ALN.
Nice, Brad.
And now you couldn't get through the store without being harassed at Tom Hanks level. It would be horrible. Yeah. He wouldn't have fun.
And even Eddie, I mean, somebody who I feel like is never in public, right?
Mm-hmm. Never, but no one bothers him.
Really?
He gets the occasional, hey, man, you know, like, what are you working on? That's it. But really, people leave him alone. It's his neighborhood shop.
Cool.
Because it's kind of like, don't make the man not want to leave his house. So people leave him alone. Yeah. It took me months to get the nerve to ask him for a selfie. Months.
So you saw him like a lot then.
I saw him a lot. I'd be in the corner with my laptop. And when he'd come in, the first time he came in, I almost vomited on myself.
Wow.
He's Eddie Murphy. He's that for me. So I'm like, okay. And I knew his cousin. So I text his cousin like, he's here. And he's like, well, go say hi. And I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way. It froze.
Wow.
Well, that and there's certain people that are at that level that are like,
your idol.
If I see the third lead from Melrose Place, then I may be like, okay, yeah, I'll go say hi to him.
And Jason Priestley, come get the selfie, stop playing.
Might give him a dollar, you know, whatever. But yeah, like if you see Eddie Murphy, that's just that Mount Rushmore.
I think
comedy.
I would freak out too when I am Jim Carrey and Robin Williams for me.
I literally
could not speak. And luckily, I spoke enough to Robin to get a picture with him.
Yeah.
But Jim Carrey, he was walking to the stores when he was scouting people for I'm Dying Up Here. Uh-huh. I've told the story before, but he literally walked by. It's such a crazy thing at this stage in life to feel like you can't even, you freeze. Like, think about all the shit we do. Like, you're so comfortable and confident. Mm-hmm. And literally, he walks through the back bar, and I was just staring at him. So he goes, hey, man. And I went, like, what?
Yeah,
it's like, what did you say?
You know,
so are you trying to get a maid's attention? No.
I've told 6'7" guys sitting in my audience that I will kick their ass. That was no problem. Because I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm invincible. Yeah. I can do anything. But yeah, seeing Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, you're like,
exactly.
Don't know. So I can only imagine seeing Eddie. So you had to work up to that.
Yeah.
Was he was gracious?
He was gracious, but he was serious. I've always heard that he's a bit of an asshole, just meaning he's a real man.
Sure.
So I said, hey, Eddie, he left, he was alone, going to his car. So I'm like, okay, now.
Yeah.
So
no one's around, yeah.
I went to my car before him because I knew he was going to be in the parking lot. I'm like,
so you just
gotta,
popped out?
You got to case him. So I popped out. I said, hey, Eddie, can I get a selfie? And he goes, yeah, is your camera ready? As if to say, don't waste my fucking time.
Wow. Yeah.
Instead of being like, okay, hold on.
Sure.
Hold on.
Oh, got to answer 2 texts first. Hold up.
So I said, yes, he's ready. And it wasn't. But I'm like, fuck, it will be. There's no way I'm going to fuck this up. Walked across the parking lot. He was at his car. And it was a beautiful selfie. And very close, both showed our gap teeth. And that was, I'm like, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
I could probably die right now. I'm finished.
How often do you look at that picture?
All the time.
You blow it up, make like a poster above your ceiling?
But I should.
You should.
But I still see him, and now I'm hurt.
Shit, man, I framed that shoe, Rob, because it was just like...
You're right. There's nobody else. There's nobody above Eddie to me. There's nobody above Eddie to me.
Yeah, I mean, unless you meet fucking the cast of Cool Runnings, I don't know.
Who did I meet recently that also put me through it? I can't remember. Shit.
Yeah. I mean, hell, this has nothing to do with meeting the person, but for me, Ric Flair this morning retweeted me.
Yeah.
And that to me was like, what?
Yeah.
It's probably not even him.
Who's Ric Flair again?
Ric Flair is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Welcome back to Who Gives a Shit.
Limousine riding, styling, profiling, Rolex wearing, kiss stealing, son of a gun.
Oh my God.
Woo! When I see comedians, I look
like Nature Boy.
Oh, shut up.
When I met Paul
McCartney.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the story. God, you're good.
Damn.
I was in the Hollywood Improv.
I was there too.
And
were we on the same show?
Probably I have no idea.
I think, well, he was there a couple nights in a row, but I think you were on the show that I did
with
him.
I was hosting it. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting in the back on the right hand, well, whatever, from
closest
the back,
to the door.
Left. Yes.
Yes.
And I went back. My friends were in the booth behind me, all my friends. So I saw this white man's hand on my shoulder after I was done. And he goes, you were fantastic. Whatever. You were remarkable.
Fabulous.
And I turned around. And I was kind of like, "What?" Oh, okay. And then I'm like, "I couldn't." And nothing came out.
He, I mean, that is that is another
history.
Yeah,
he's world history.
And then again, I'm like, where the fuck is your security? It was him and one dude.
The tiny little British dude.
Yeah,
like, hey, Paul's got a guy in a fight in a dude. He was a cartoon of a fucking British dude. This guy, because Paul said walking by, and I do this as a bit where I saw somebody told me he was there, so I really tried to amp it up, and I did a bunch of like music stuff, and I get off, and I tried to walk right by him so that he would see me and be like, hey, Adam, good set. Which is what happened. And then he goes, you sit down, have a drink. So I sit down next to him.
And you pee a little bit?
Oh my God, I peed out all of it. Peed all of it. All the pee came out. And it was Beetle pee. And in the joke I say, even like, you know, I was trying not to get, you know, trying not to fart, trying not to get hard. And then people laugh and I go, yeah, man, I don't know if my dick's never met Paul McCartney. I don't know. Like, hey, what's going on? Is that Paul McCartney? You know? But dude, he was so nice. And he had this rock star aura to him where it was just like.
Yes,
right?
He does.
I mean, rightly, you said you went kind of like.
I was kind of like looked up like. And I knew it was him in the dark with maybe like half an eye in his hair. But yeah, I just knew it was him without seeing him.
Isn't that bonkers?
But I was also worried about him. I'm like, if anybody is a kidnap threat.
Yeah.
Right. It's
whether it's him
fucking beetle.
Or his watch, his ear, fucking where's his security?
Yeah.
Well, it was fucking Mr. Magoo, that tiny little British dude next to him, who literally when we walked outside, because we bugged him for a picture, my buddy was also on the show. He was like, dude, we got
to
get like, when are we going
to
see this dude again? And he, by the way, he'd been taking a... photo shoot with like Avery Pearson and Dan Cook and Owen Benjamin a night before.
I remember
in the bathroom.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
Judd, I think too. Uh-huh. So I was like, all right, he's obviously cool about it. He took a bathroom photo shoot, and so you know what I'm saying. And so,
are we taking our dicks out for this one, boys?
Dicks in or dicks out? You know, help! I need somebody.
Not faces.
And so we're outside in the back of the improv, and Paul's like, we might get a picture. And the tiny little Mr. Magoo guy goes, he goes, Paul's got to get in our flight. He's going to Japan in literally 4 hours. And I was like, all right, chill, man. And then Paul's like, no, it's fine. He's like, they were on the show. They were with the comedians. He goes, but Paul, you got to get in our fucking flight. Like, just so. I'm like, dude, are you pretending to be British? Or is this your idea? Did people tell you you weren't British enough? And so you're heightening the Brit.
Right.
Anyway, and Paul was super cool. But that's, I mean, there's so many things like that. Are there people from back home too that, or that you even went to law school with that have like, that come to shows and are like, man, we always knew you had it, or that are like,
ex-bosses. Ex-bosses. And a few of them have come to shows. In the beginning, they all come.
Sure.
No one comes now unless it's a big deal. And I've had them say during the show, during my crowd work, like, yeah, you're good at this. Stick to this.
as if to say, if don't come
needed.
Back. Yeah,
you
don't
know
come
what?
Back to work for me.
I was so close to quitting
considering...
until Barb from accounting showed up.
Yeah. Stick to this.
But I've had a lot of ex-bosses and coworkers kind of like, oh, you were serious. And I was like, I was never working.
Oh, yeah.
I
didn't work for you. I was never serious
anything.
About working for you.
I made my offices at all my jobs be my office for work. I remember I built all of my websites, all of the marketing, everything I used their office for. Everything,
right?
But work. I print scripts, all of them, the whole script.
Wow.
Not the sides.
Right. Whole script. You studied
the whole motherfucking script.
How? When were you a motivational speaker, and are you still?
I am still. The last gig I had was in September.
Wow.
But I, you know,
you
I've
seem
been,
like you would be so fucking good.
I was good. The one I've done it maybe 3 times, and it's a new goal. It's a new thing on the list of career achievements. I want to be a full blown one.
Yeah,
but it's like, you know, I need to have more of me doing it on tape so I can make it real. Because they don't
how do you do it? How do you get to Tony Robbins status?
How do you get to Tony Robbins? You got to keep doing it for free or pay everywhere you can.
Yeah.
Until your message gets out. And now with social media, you can
videos
every day if you want. I've been so bad with that. And I keep getting told, put whatever you're thinking on. I'm just like, God, every
you post
day?
Some really profound shit.
I post a lot, but it's not my face all the time when we're talking.
Yeah. Nah, you gotta, I mean, come on, you're the total package. You gotta put that voice
that.
And that face out there.
Don't you get tired of the pressure?
I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I have to force myself to even, like, I'm already in my phone so much for business, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I need to tape myself for fucking...
talking
but
about
you have
oranges
to.
For no reason.
Yeah. I don't even sell oranges, but I'm talking about them.
Now
we want to hear your point of view on everything.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm told we do. I'm like, there's no way you really do.
I mean, I see the people that do like Facebook lives or Instagram lives or
all
just
day,
so many stories all day. And I go, and they do have big followings. And I just go, and then some that don't. And I'm like, I don't understand how. Maybe they're going to build a following through it. But I'm like, if you don't have it now, and you're doing it all the time, but you do need that. I think that other stuff. That
I
other.
Think, I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, because there's
I had
sometimes
a sandwich
I just
and I got
down.
My eyebrows waxed. That's it. I should get online every day and discuss all the minutiae.
Also, do we really need to say everything we're thinking?
No.
No, there's a lot of stuff that I'm just going to keep inside of this large head of mine.
90% of the stories I watch when people say, when they're just like stream of consciousness, I'm just like, oh, you probably didn't need to post that. And then the next one they do, and I go, no, I didn't need to post that for sure. The previous one was a maybe. This one was a definite no. Like, but you get conditioned to, and I think some people.
All day.
Wouldn't you say, like, it's a feeling alone?
It's a friend for them,
right?
It's talking to.
We're by ourselves in this business so much, so maybe it is like, because they, hey guys, so I'm thinking about. You know, and I get the live things too for fan interaction. I get that. And that is, I think, incredible.
Build your fan base.
Yeah, for sure.
They fall in love with you that way.
But to just like.
Should I have turkey or ham at Subway?
Yeah.
Here's my Subway barista. Hey. He's like, I'm not a barista. Oh, whatever, man. He's just, man, everyone's a comedian.
And then
anyway.
Then they get a sitcom.
Yeah.
It's like, what? That person is.
Yeah, he gets a Snapchat show where he goes in and harasses a Subway artist.
Yeah, with the dog face filter on.
I was told to take Snapchat more seriously by Comedy Central. They were like, well, listing all
your
the Comedy
Central. Apparently they have millions of.
Something.
Now. Facebook will be done soon and there'll be a new one. You know,
yeah.
Bookface. And it'll be by Tom from MySpace. He's planning his comeback.
Sure.
He's like Brett Favre.
Just when you least expect it.
What is Tom doing?
Yeah.
Where's that documentary?
Where is Tom?
Is there a VH1 Where Are They Now on Tom from MySpace?
It needs to happen.
Is there another documentary about what we should need on Netflix? Where's Tom?
Holy shit.
Food shows on Netflix.
No,
I get it.
I don't
eat nothing but plants and water.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it. That's the moral of all this. And air.
Yeah.
Breathe.
The moral is...
Fuck food is the next documentary coming out. Are you eating? Oh, you're going to die, man. Well, what am I supposed to do? Not eat.
Yeah, not eat.
But then I'll die. Oh, well, that's on you. Figure it out.
Every single thing where it's... every single food documentary on Netflix is just like, hey, that thing that...
You've been doing?
Yeah, that thing you've been doing?
Stop.
Stop doing that. It's going to kill you. What about this? Wait, does it taste good? Well, yeah, it tastes delicious.
Yeah.
Fuck you then. You got cancer.
Yeah.
What? How did that...
It was just one hot dog.
Yeah,
but it was a cancer dog.
Cancer dog.
How am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
Avocados are the good fat? Yeah, well, don't have avocados.
Yeah, don't have avocados. We were always told 5 servings of fruit, right?
Yeah.
5 servings of fruit.
Now fruit's
terrible,
right?
Now they're like sugar. So
yeah,
a lot of sugar.
Oh, sugar. Sugars and fruit.
Apparently, somebody told me bananas are bad for you.
In excess, and I love bananas.
Me too.
Yeah. You can eat them in so many different ways.
I used to put bananas in my Cheerios.
The bananas are fantastic as a dessert, as a snack.
No,
when you're hungry and there's nothing else around, you eat a fucking banana.
And now now someone says, hey, we're going to go grab breakfast. You say, no, I ate this morning. I had a banana. They're like, oh shit, you're going to die. Like, it's a fucking
potassium. It makes your dick fall off. You didn't read it?
Yeah.
What?
I don't even have a dick.
Well, it's on
exactly.
Netflix.
Not anymore.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, that's the new Google WebMD.
You know how often I sit in front of my laptop going through and I'm like, I don't want to see any of this. And they're probably great.
I constantly do. It's too much.
I can't pick now. Because
too
there's
many,
so that's much, I'd rather sit for an hour in silence. And I can easily. Not even scrolling in
when there
silence.
Were four channels, that's why Home Improvement, Cosby Show, Cheers, they had so many views because options. And guess what?
Competition.
We have amazing content now, but like it is... I mean, somebody told me that Netflix is going to put out 80 original movies next year. 80 original movies.
<Your face. laughs>
And I'm not in any of them. But that's like, that's too much. Do you watch anything? What do you watch?
I watched, the last thing I watched was David Chappelle's, the first special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch all of Ali Wong's special because I feel like I watched her create it. So I don't need to watch. I know this is how it's
cool.
going to end.
Yeah.
And a lot of times with those specials, you've seen... Because we're here, I've seen a lot of these guys, friends or not, or acquaintances, work on this set already. So I know the punchlines. I'm like, I don't want to watch all. I don't need to. I know it's going to be good.
You saw it.
Because it's been good for 2 years.
Right.
While I've been working on it. So it's hard for me to watch the specials. The last thing I watched was The Punisher. Just finished.
The new show.
I'm a superhero buff. I love that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not comic books. I don't know shit about that.
Just
but the movies.
The movies and superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
The Punisher was fantastic.
Is
the last one.
Do you try to watch though other comic specials, or do you not like to? You know, some people don't like to be influenced by other.
I'm having a problem right now where I'm not doing well. When I feel like I should be watching them to study and learn and
I guess,
whatever.
But
I don't want to.
But we're
I
out
don't know
so
why.
Much. Like I get comedied out sometimes.
Yeah, I think maybe that's why. Because I'm like I'm always performing. Why do I want to see it?
Yeah,
yeah.
But you should watch them.
You have to. It's studying
it's part
the
job.
Craft.
It's part of the job.
For acting, that's why. You know, I remember when I was in class right after college and. And they were just like, you got to be watching all the shows that you're hopefully going in for, but also just got to be watching.
That more, I believe, understand more than
yeah, just so you know the tone of the show.
Yeah, if so when you go in, not be like, yeah. You know.
Yeah, but you're not like talking to Chappelle like, hey, I need to know your entire act so I can open for you.
You don't want to go, you're not going to go into a Scandal audition making jokes.
Do you know Dave?
No.
No.
I have not. He said hi to me once because I had a serious face. He was like, hey, ma'am. And I was like, and I didn't know who it was. I was kind of like, what the fuck? Hey, Dave. And that was it. No handshake. No, I'm so-and-so. Mm-hmm. He's gotten sexy over the years. This is going to be.
He started lifting. He did something.
Because he's not traditionally pretty.
Did the buff, getting buff help?
Yeah, but he got buff. I mean, he's been rich for a long time. But now he's sexy and a confidence.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, a lot of confidence.
Would you say Dave is finding the funny in his flaws, which is. Your brand, funny in your flaws.
I think most comics. That's the definition of stand-up comedy, right?
Yeah,
making fun of yourself.
Yeah,
or try and talk about what's happening and people in the audience are like, oh, me too.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you come up with that sort of mantra?
Where's my throat? Give me 5 minutes.
Because you ate a banana this morning. That's why.
I had a Subway sandwich on the way here. Where's this throat dryness coming from? In the last year or two, I noticed there was a change in how the audiences were reacting to me and my jokes. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it's the women. The women were becoming these huge fans during the show and after. So my girlfriend helped me come up with a brand to help with the motivational speaking goal and to get my comedy to go in a direction, to have like a goal or a theme as opposed to just trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, find the funny in your flaws. Your flaws are fabulous. And that's where it came from. Because that's what I do. I talk about what happens to me. And usually with women, they're like, oh, me too. And that's that has made the sets be more consistent.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten funnier. And it's been easier.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to figure out what's funny about cashews. I mean, I don't give a shit about cashews. I'm like, well, what happened to me?
Yeah. Well,
and that's easier.
And everyone thinks that their experiences are so like, oh, I'm the only person that's gone through this. But no. Everyone's gone through
relatability
everything.
Relatability is fantastically
funny. Yes. And there's, no matter what you've done in your life that you think like, this is my thing. This mm-hmm. is the only thing. I'm the only person that has struggled with this, who has thought this, who has gone through this. No, there's a whole group of audience members that have thought the exact same thing. So I'm glad that's your message.
Yeah, and it's gotten easier because I used to be a short set. I'm like, well, you got to do 47 jokes in this set, and after a while, I'm like, now I'm learning how to tell stories.
Yeah,
which I have found has made stand up easier for me because your memory's not like, all right, that's not joke four.
Right.
So now I tell stories and I can have time. I've gotten used to the silence. I used to be worried about the quiet.
Right.
Thinking, oh, they're going to leave. And they're not. They're like, we're listening to you, waiting for you to get to the next part.
Yeah.
So the storytelling is helping me to calm down, mm-hmm. talk slower, and trust that they are with you.
You're an amazing storyteller.
Without having, I'm becoming one. I'm learning now.
Well, we were on the show, The Comedy Magic, maybe mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you went out first and just like slayed so hard. Do you really?
Yeah, there, because they're like, they're horny for it.
Yeah. I'm not that club as much as I want to be because it is just a little bit of a trek.
A little bit?
I can go up so many around here that I just.
You should be there. When I heard saw your name, I was like, well, this is someone who should have been here all this fucking time.
Yeah. Mm. And you know what's so funny is, and he's very now gracious about having me down there, but I remember the first time he saw me was hosting for Greg Giraldo, and he was just like, "Oh, you're too dirty," and it was just really it was f bombs, really. I've never been a super blue filthy, except for maybe like the first 2 months where it was just like not having any point of view except for like I bet people like this, and then I remember he came back to see me and I made a point to not be filthy at all. No F-bombs, no anything. It was super clean. Yeah. Probably like too clean. And I remember afterwards, he goes, yeah, man, still a little too filthy. And I go, and at that point I was just like, well, fuck that. If he thought me being like you know, really trying to go against anything and then he still, maybe he just, the way I was speaking sounded. Yeah.
I get a talking to there every now and then. Like I've been a regular there for a long time, but I still every once in a while get like the principal supervisor mm-hmm. fingers like, hey, give me a second.
Yeah.
Hey, you had fun, didn't you? And I know that's code for right. fucking relax.
Yeah.
Now the F bombs and the sex yeah. and shit. Yeah.
Now are you someone that can take that kind of criticism?
It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't bother
me. Okay, because some people are just like, my art is my art.
No.
And don't try
to. I don't want to be banned. That's one of my home places. I love it there. So no, it doesn't matter to me. Because I can right. make any adjustment because it's your imagination.
Yeah.
And it's laziness. Whenever I decide to be all cock and dick and whatever, it's because I'm just like, I just want to get through this.
How quickly do you go from brain to pen to stage? Or do you just write on?
Nowadays, I just try new stuff when I'm riffing on stage. And if it works, I immediately put it in my phone.
Yeah.
But the notebook and thing, I've gotten so bad.
I've always been horrible
with the fucking notebook.
Yeah, I just started one.
Just?
Does it make you feel like an
80s
comic?
You've been a comedian since Black and White TV.
How old are you?
Well, I'm 33, which is about 72 in dwarf.
That's what I thought. Look at that beard.
Yes. So I've been doing it well. But no, I just started the whole notebook thing. I'm not breaking any news here, but there's something about writing it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That really,
better for your memory?
Yes. Absolutely.
I put it in my notes on my phone, so I do write it all down
me
anyway.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've said this before, I lost 2 notebooks and it was just like devastating. I mean, somebody could have been like, as I was like, lost the notebook, be like, hey man, your parents are getting back together. I'd be like, shut the fuck up, I lost the notebook. Let's talk about the real shit.
Yeah. Right?
Because it was so, I mean, it's like, you try to remember certain things that it's just like, if I don't put it in my phone, it's just, because, you know, if you lose your phone or your computer, hey man, you can access that.
Yeah, somehow. Email.
But what if that happens? What are you going to do? I mean, do you have a back? How do you back up the notebook? With your brain?
Take a picture.
That's falling apart, man.
Page,
yeah.
Something.
No.
And you feel bad if you. I found the notebook one time from a comic that I knew. Oh. And I had the same feeling like, she's probably freaking out right now.
Right.
She's in her car like, where the fuck is my notebook?
I
didn't try hard to get it back to her, too. I left it there. I was kind of like, whatever. What? She should know.
You're a horrible friend, Jackie Fabulous.
She should fucking know. Not my job.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. You are a comic that everyone needs to go see because people leave with just a general sense of feeling good. And
oh,
I know,
thank you.
And I know that's kind of a basic compliment because it's what we're all supposed to be doing is make people feel better.
Yeah.
But we all
got our favorites.
Yeah. And
exactly.
And when we're watching you on stage, when people are watching you on stage, mm-hmm. it's just, it's hard not to be happy watching you.
Yeah, you're infectious.
Oh, thank you. I need for that happiness to turn into money.
It will. It will. Everybody gets their shot.
I don't mean rich. I just mean pay rent, you know, early.
That's it.
Before I leave the state.
But
what's that feel like to pay everything, prepay, and then get on an airplane as opposed to being like, oh, shit.
I know. Give me that check
you
now.
Just want that level of money.
I want to prepay before I fly away.
Yeah.
Have what's you fantasized like? About your fuck you money gifts, though, or toys?
Not toys, car. I want to floss and have a nice car. I don't give a shit about the environment.
Yeah, because you...
or gas. I don't give a fuck.
Because you posted something on, I think it was on your Instagram recently, about like a burgundy
outside
Maserati.
Comedy Magic, there was a burgundy plum deep Maserati that was... it was so pretty, I can't even understand. It was gorgeous.
Did you have to like...
That's too much. I'm not spending 6 figures for a car.
Okay.
But I'll spend 70.
Okay.
Or 80 at most. My next car will be a BMW. I want a BMW SUV.
If we could do flying cars, would you do that?
No. All the driverless cars, you'll never see me.
So no camping, no flying cars? Man,
no.
You're no fun.
No. Would you ever get in those cars that they're making now with no drivers, driverless?
Fuck no.
No.
The fact that robots are even getting close to like being a part of civilization scares the fuck out of me.
It's like dogs
for Brad. I don't want robots anywhere. I mean, we just talked about with a buddy of ours, like he has the vacuum thing.
The Roomba.
To me, we were like, dude, even that could malfunction.
And set the whole place on fire.
Yeah, dude. Well, it's like, cut your dick off while you sleep. You don't know what it's trained to do. Were you there when it was built?
Sometimes,
no is the answer to that question.
Sometimes my TV, which is just has one function, just turn on.
Yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't fucking work. So I go, why don't I hop into a car where if one thing doesn't work, you drive off a fucking cliff?
Yeah.
I don't want that. No.
And nobody feels bad for you when it's like, hey, comedian.
How did she die? Driverless car.
Yeah.
A robot drove him off the freeway. Well, fuck. Shouldn't drive with a robot.
She should have known it already for that. That's what they would do.
I want some sympathy for my dad.
Exactly.
I want some people to go, no.
He was a hero.
Everybody being the funeral would add it to, why the fuck was she in that car?
Yeah, exactly.
Every face would say that the whole funeral.
I feel like
the robots at the funeral. She was a great comic.
I feel like that's going to be the last thought that I have right before I die is, oh, what are comics going to tweet about this shit? And then what? Die.
We'll give your social media. Yeah, tell your social media.
JackieFabulous.com. Everything's on there.
Fuck
yeah. Find it that way.
Tour dates, everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything's on there.
Do you post a lot on Instagram?
Me?
Yeah.
All day long.
What do you post?
Unfortunately. What do I post? Yeah. Motivational things.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Can you close us out with one?
Can I close us out with one? Yeah. Oh, God.
Wait, give me 1 second. Think of it.
And I got it. It's
well,
good.
Well, hold on.
All right.
Now, who's better to be motivational to? Like our, because I remember in high school we had people come and kids were such dickheads when the motivational. Like I remember the
oh
the
yeah,
person
nobody
being,
wants it.
The person was like, "Look, get after it. If you achieve your dream," and everyone was like, "Fuck you, you
know? That's
eat a
healthy.
Dick."
I think that-
you know. All right, here we
and
go.
And I have a request before I go.
Yes, of okay. course. All right, here we go. This is Jackie Fabulous. With words to live by. Welcome back to the About Last
Night
podcast.
The One Life to Live theme song.
A Jackie affirmation. Sponsored by Stitch Fix. Just kidding. She didn't say anything about it, so.
Because they're not paying me a goddamn dime.
Find your funny and your flaws.
Yes.
With Jackie Fabulous.
Are we ready?
Yeah. No?
Oh, 2017 for me has been full of a lot of death and opportunity and depression. But I'm able to still perform when I have to make the world happy. I'm either blessed or bonkers. But let's all be both. Why not? Let's all be blessed and bonkers together.
I fucking love that.
This has been Blessed and Bonkers.
Blessed and Bonkers.
With Jackie
T-shirts
Fabulous.
Coming your way.
Are they?
Yes. Someone told me today to make a T-shirt out of that.
Blessed and Bonkers. Are you kidding
blessed
me?
Blessed and Bonkers.
That is such a great way to sum up like... Because that's everybody.
Yeah.
Look, Seal said we all got a little crazy, need to get a little crazy, otherwise we're never going to survive. Yeah. And look, is that the first time I've quoted Seal? No. But that's not
won't
what we're talking
last
about.
Either.
He was right. But it is, but Blessed and Bonkers is such a great way to look
thank
at
you.
It.
At my request now.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you against doing any of your jokes on this? Are you prefer to have people come pay and see you?
Depends on what the joke is.
I want you to do your Folgers joke.
Oh, my oh. God.
Well, that's a classic.
I love it. That's what I know you by.
That's so, you know what's so funny? I haven't done that joke in probably 3 years.
See?
and I love, but I used to be when I'd say the first 5 years
yes.
was like, I did it in every set, whether it was 3 minutes or
I
10
know,
minutes.
I saw it 87 times.
You know who else saw it and oh. told me, and this is why it ruins me, so I stopped doing it. I auditioned for Last Comic Standing just once.
Yes.
And I went at the end of the day. The end of the day. So yeah. they'd seen the Hollywood Improv, Alonzo Bowden and yeah. Kathleen Madigan were judging.
Yeah.
And I was the last person. So you'd think they got all their shots of like, being mean or being like yeah. no or whatever, you know, but they've got all their coverage. Yeah. So the last person, just let them do their shit and yeah. let's go home. So I get up there, super nervous, all the lights on. I go, so man, Folgers Coffee. I just got into it really shitty. Like no, like you know, as if my onstage transition was good. But I go, the slogan, you know, and I do the joke, and Kathleen cuts me off and just goes, really, a Folgers joke? What is it, 1984? And I just go,
they still so, sell it.
Yeah,
the
yeah. So I was like, so don't. And then Alonzo was like, no, let him finish it. You got any other shit? I go, so NyQuil is crazy. And like, they're just like, and they,
now
and
the
they
time
just cut,
to be
yeah.
digging through your head for material.
All right, we'll yeah. see. What was my first see? So I would go, who the fuck is that?
1970?
That was not what I thought was going
to
be.
All right, that's the voice of a guy who's like, come to this car if you want some candy, little boy. He's doing Folgers ads? So literally, I'm sitting home. I see that commercial because they still play them.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was like, man. And so I go, a lot of commercials need to update their slogans, you know? Like Folgers Coffee. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Mm. Is it? That's what I would do. Remember that? I go, is it? Wait for a laugh like Jackie's giving now. And then I go, to me, that slogan should be, the best part of waking up is not dying in your sleep. Classic. Perfect. Boot off a classic Adam Ray and classic thing for, a trigger for Kathleen Madigan to cut you off.
He did
and
not
crush
win Last Comic Standing, by the way, just FYI.
Rubbing salt in the wound.
Good night, part two, everybody.
Yeah. I was on Last Comic for 37 seconds, so it's okay.
You're still on it.
Yeah, yeah, it's a credit, goddammit, to my grave. I don't give a shit.
Good night, part three.
I love you, Jackie. Thank you.
So. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Good night, everybody.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.